Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today I got an email. It's interesting. From someone who said, you know, Del, what about us guys at the beginning? You're always talking about making millions of dollars. You're talking about being retired, and you're talking about helping people get to that point of being retired. What about those at the beginning? How do we look at this thing? And I started thinking about that. Okay, that's a good point. Maybe sometimes we do get ahead of ourselves and not realize that the average person is way far away from that point, very far away from that point. In fact, the average person probably doesn't even have a retirement and plan in place. They just sort of exist, go to work, make their money. So let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, you were told to have a successful life financially that you should go to school. And go to school and get good grades so that you can get into a good college. And then you need to work hard and get good grades at college so you could get a good job. Well, myself, I got good grades in high school. I went to college. I went about a year, year and a half, 2 years, something like that. And then I realized that nobody was working. Nobody was trying. Nobody cared. And I started really putting wonder into, does any of this book learning education really do anything for you? So I decided that I was going to go out on my own and go find how to make my millions. And as I did that, I went out. In fact, it was an interesting story. What I did was I figured out I need to be where the action life is happening. So I looked up the five fastest growing cities in the country. And at the time, they were Dallas, Houston, and L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco. So I said, well, I'm starting in Wisconsin here. Let me just drive down to Dallas and see what Dallas is like. And when I drove down there, I was leaving Wisconsin. One of the things I said was I'm never going to live up north again because it's freezing. You're shoveling snow. Life really is terrible. 9 months out of the year, terrible. 3 or 4 months out of the year, beautiful. And I said, I'm just not going to do this. This isn't going to be my life. I'm going to go find a place where it's beautiful and sunny. And I was a bodybuilder. So, you know what I mean? We wanted it nice and beautiful and sunny everywhere we went, right? So I did that. Went down to Dallas. And what happened? A once-in-a-lifetime snowstorm. I kid you not. And so I go, I can't stay here. And I drove on down to Houston. And I got down to Houston, and I thought to myself, okay, boy, this is an ugly city. Let me go on down to Galveston. I went down to Galveston. I'm from Wisconsin. We're in Madison, Wisconsin, quite honestly, the reality is that the water is crystal clear. It's all glacial-fed lakes there. It's beautiful. And I got down to Galveston. It was just mud. In fact, they had just had that thing where there's an oil spill, and there was mud and oil globs all over the beach. It was just terrible. And I said, boy, this is a disgusting place to live. And I'm going to go on down to California. But first, let me go on back up to Houston because I don't know where to stay here. And I went up to Houston. I parked my van. I fell asleep in my van. I woke up in the worst part of town in Houston because I didn't know where I was at. And I'd kind of run out of money. I said, well, let me just go get a job and make a little money and get back on my feet and then see what Houston's like and we'll move on. I never got out of Houston. Never got out of Houston. Houston's an ugly place. I swear to God to you, it's a terrible place to live. As far as topographic area, as far as what you can do outside, what you can go and play and whatever. But man, is it a money-making city. And I just got involved there and I stayed there. I started making money, working a bunch of odd jobs. And I finally got sick of all the odd jobs and I went to the health club where I was a bodybuilder and I worked. All right, so all that comes to this point. Now I just decide I got no college education. I've got no corporate America job. The story goes on forever, but it's not worth listening to at this point. The point I'm trying to get to is that here I am working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I figure, man, I'm doomed. Life is over. I mean, I love working in the health club, and I love being a bodybuilder, but I was working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I finally decided, you know what, I got to figure out how to get out of here. And I started looking at all the different kinds of franchises you could buy or small businesses you could start or what I could do. get out of my own and be an entrepreneur. And finally, I came across, after going to all of these Midnight Madness seminars, Dave Delgado, Robert Allen, Jeff Acone, Tommy Vu, the Milans, Ron LeGrand, Carl Sheets, Robert Kiyosaki. There's all these different seminars out there. I went to different ones and came to the conclusion that, you know, buy a rent house. And when you ask, where do you start? I'm going to take you right there. Buy a rent house. That is your starting point for everything, because what happens when you buy a rent house is you begin to understand for the first time what it is to be an investor and to be an entrepreneur and to understand how money is really made and how the government has set up the taxation system and everything else to be in favor of those who are willing to go out and make money. And so I went and I found my first rent house, and I put $2,500 down, which back then was a lot of money. And I got $500 back at closing from the security deposit from the tenant. The place was already rented. The real estate agent rented it before I bought it. So I was making $220 a month positive cash flow. I had $2,000 invested. That came out to be 132% return. I mean, you just think about it, $220 a month times 10 months is $2,000, $2,600 a year. And I only had $2,000 invested in it. 26%, 132% return is what it came out to be, I think. And I go, this is it. And I thought about it. You know, before this, I had my money in savings accounts. I had my money in bonds. I had my money in stocks. I had my money, all these things. Small partnerships, limited partnerships, oil, gas wells. I bought all that stuff over the 12 years of working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, because I had no idea what to do. You just take your money and blindly stick it somewhere. It's the invest, hope, pray syndrome. You put it in there and go, let me try this one, see what return. It promises this return. And your first goal is you just hope you get it back, that you don't lose it all. Many investments, I lost everything. And so the first rule is, before you talk to me about the return on my investment, talk to me about the return of my investment. How do I get this back? What's the guarantee I actually won't lose it? And then the next part was, okay, what rate of return do I get? And how's that taxed? And when do I get paid it? Do I get paid it? Et cetera, et cetera. Or does it just accumulate somewhere? All that stuff didn't work. None of it worked. And then one day I bought a rent house. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I was making $220 a month positive cash flow. I was getting a check for $600 a month, which was really interesting, because I was working a health club and we'd collect hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of memberships, turn them all in and get paid a check for $3,000. Go, boy, it would be nice to get the $100,000 instead of the $3,000, right? But the reality was, for the first time, I was the man. I was getting the check for $600. I was paying the mortgage payments, and I was ending up with $220 a month positive cash flow. And that, my friends, was the beginning of me becoming massively wealthy, because it's the plan that went with the investment that made the whole thing work. Now, for you to buy one rent house in this day and age, you'd have to come up with probably $10,000 or $20,000 to buy that. I'm trying to think now, if we buy houses, we buy houses typically, I'm just going to run some numbers by you. We typically buy houses that cost anywhere from $200,000 to $250,000. So I'm going to use round numbers that I can do math, radio math on. So if we buy a $200,000 house for $100,000 and we put $50,000 in it to renovate it, we now own it for $150,000. We go and have it appraised at $200,000 in the beginning, up front, before we even start. And the bank will lend us 75% of that, which is $150,000. So they'll lend us the $150,000. What we have to come up with is the closing cost, which might be around $10,000. And if it all worked out perfect like that, that would be about what we'd have to come up with. If we do anything wrong, if there's more rehab than that, than what we can account for, or if there's more closing costs because we did something different, whatever, you might have to come out with more than $10,000. So I say $10,000 to $20,000. But what the difference is here is that at the end of that time, you don't have a little number on a piece of paper somewhere in a 401k in your closet. You've got a rent house. You've got an asset. That asset is going up in value every single year. That's appreciation or inflation, whichever you want to call it. You know, when you're an investor, you call it inflation or you call it appreciation. When you're paying the higher rent you have to pay every year, that's called inflation, right? But as the investor, we like to see that thing go up in value. So we have appreciation. Not only that, we have a mortgage, and that mortgage is getting paid down, getting paid off, not by us, but by the tenant. So we're making money from the mortgage reduction. Not only that, we've got rental income. And in my case, I said $220 was my rental income. You might make anywhere from $200 to $500 a month. In this day and age, the houses are larger, the money is larger, the dollars are larger. So your positive cash flow might be as much as $500. Your rent might be as much as $2,500. But your share of it might be only $500. So this is how you get started. And with one rent house, you learn how to do the leasing. You learn how to market to get someone to come in. You learn how to screen your tenant. So you put the right tenant in there and they don't tear up the house and they make their payments. So that's a very important process to learn. You learn how to locate, evaluate, negotiate, contract, and close and finance the house. That's all important steps to learn. All that happens on the first house, right? If you do it right, if you go out there and you learn from us, you come to Lifestyles, you learn how to screen people, you learn how to put them in there and sign contracts and collect the rent the easiest way. There's a lot of easy ways to do this. All my money comes in the mail. It comes either direct deposit or directly in the mail. I don't go out and do anything. Now, I have in the past, but I don't anymore. I've set myself up totally autonomous in this type of situation. So you got to get that first one. Now, after you get the first one, the most amazing thing happens to you. You realize you can do it. And that, I think, is the largest step of all. When it all comes down to it, you've gotten through the locating, evaluating, negotiating, contracting, closing, renovation, refinance, put the tenant in. When you've gone through all that, now there's somebody there paying you money. And that person, typically in a rent house, lives there at least 4 years. Generally, what happens is they move in, their kid's in one school district. They don't want to move the kid out of that school district. Plus, moving is terrible. Probably the number one most hated thing next to public speaking. And so people move in. I would get 8 years out of most people. They'd go there and their kids would go to middle school, then they'd go to high school. They wouldn't want to leave. Or they'd go to grade school, then middle school, then high school. They wouldn't want to leave. So if you pick the right people for these houses, it's an incredible thing. You don't do it ever again. I remember getting checks from people that I never even met. Other than the first time I signed the lease with them. And then, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, people, you forget what they look like. They forget what you, and you'll be at the grocery store and somebody go, hey, you know, Mr. Dell, they'd call you. I go, yeah, how do I know you? I'm one of your tenants. Oh, okay, yeah. It's kind of embarrassing. You don't even know who they are, but they're sending you money in the mail every single month for years. And it's that first step. You've got to wrap your arms around it, that it actually works. One is the most important one to start with. Once you get that one down, now the next most important one is number two. Because now that you know how to do it and you've struggled through it, now the question is, can you do it easily? And that's what number two should become. It should become easily. So after I did my first house, I went to the closing table and the broker hands me the check for the security deposit for the tenant and says, here's your first month's rent and a security deposit. And your tenant's in there. So I didn't even have to find the first tenant. He did that for me. He said, how many more of these you want to buy? And I laughingly told him, well, I think four. And he looked at me and laughed. He goes, why four? Why not 40? And I go, because we have so much money, right? And at the time, I was even pulling money out of credit cards to come up with down payment money. And so the guy said, okay, well, let's go out and buy more. And we bought four more over the next 30 days. So once I understood the process and I understood that it worked and I was comfortable that it was going to work, then there was no problem of going ahead and doing multiple properties. I don't recommend you do multiple properties. I had a good mentor and I had some money, and so it wasn't difficult for me, but we went ahead and, you know, not all at once. We didn't go buy all four of them the same day, but, you know, over this next 30 days, we bought four more of them. So within 60 days or so, I owned five rent houses. And I'm sorry, I bought three more of them. I'm bad because I had four rent houses. Get my story straight. So I had $220 a month times four was $880. Interesting point was I bought three more in the same subdivision for the same price, the same terms, everything. Just went back and did it again and again. Rinse and repeat. A lot of foreclosures back when I started. And you can just buy them. Just go in there. There's the price. Buy it. Do it. Rinse and repeat. So I owned four of them. Now I was making $880 a month. And then the second revelation came to me. I was living in a little condo that I owned. My payment was $450 a month. And I go, this $880 a month pays my condo payment. pays my homeowner association payment, pays my car payment. And I'm thinking, wow, if I buy just a few more of these, I can pay for my electricity, my water, my food, my clothes, my gasoline. And I figured out X number of houses I needed that I was going to chunk my way to retirement. One house at a time, each one of them taking on a responsibility to pay one of my bills. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments. Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we were discussing how you get started. We've worked our way up from the first major epiphany was that you have to get into business for yourself. You have to own something. And you're going to have to become an entrepreneur. And that's how I became an entrepreneur, by buying one rent house. The second epiphany was, after I bought that rent house, that I could do it. That literally, you know, what seems to be this daunting problem. And many of you have bought rent houses and done it all wrong. And I had both some good training up front on how to do it, but also I was in the same business. You say, what do you mean you're in the same business? Well, I ran health clubs. So what do you do in health clubs? Number one, you sell memberships. So that's like selling a lease to a house or an apartment complex. You sell leases, sell contracts. So I already knew how to do that. And number two, you maintain facilities for people to work out in. And you have to take care of those buildings. And that's what you have to do with a rent house. You have to maintain facilities. So those are two things I already did. So it was very simple for me to transition that information over to, you know, being a landlord, right? So that second epiphany was that I could actually do it. Now, the third epiphany was after I bought four houses and I realized I could see an outline to a plan here. That if four houses gave me $880 a month positive cash flow and my total bills were only like $2,000 a month, that it was only going to take X number of houses to get me there. And so at that point, I started looking for ways to buy more houses. And I got some owner finance stuff. I bought one house owner finance. Owner financed the deal for me. I got an assumption where I just put some money down, assumed somebody else's mortgage, and I piddled around and bought a few more houses. And all told, you know, I went from $880 a month positive cash flow each time. You know, we added between $200 and $500 a month of positive cash flow. And eventually I got up there to where I had about, I don't know how much it was. I don't even remember exactly how much it was, but it was, you know, $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, something like that, whatever it was. Now, at this point, I had run out of cash. So a guy had come up to me and said, look, I see what you're doing. This is pretty cool. Why don't we go into business and I'll put down money and you buy houses. And if I'll put up all the money and you operate them. I said, okay, I'll do that with you. And so we did that and we bought 11 houses. And all of a sudden, I was making money from 11 houses and he was making money from 11 houses. And somebody else saw me do that and they said, okay, let's go buy some fourplexes. So they put up the money and I bought four fourplexes for them. And, you know, I made money and they made money on that deal type of deal. But the sweetest deal, the one that really made the biggest difference was there was a five duplex, 10 unit property that I purchased for $200,000 and I only had to put 10% down, which was $20,000. And I put $20,000 into the deal with other people's money. As we got into the deal, the thing was making $2,000 a month positive cash flow. So it's $24,000 a year on $20,000 investments, 120% return. It's a phenomenal deal. However, very shortly into the deal, we found out that the septic systems were illegal and that the city might shut, or the county might shut the whole place down. So I had to go into this diatribe, which I've done before in the past, about how I went out and got the seller to pay for the repairs and replace the whole system with sewer lines instead of septic systems. And at that point, the property was worth way more because now I had a had to get it plotted as individual lots to be able to get that done, to get the sewer put in. And when I did that, now all of a sudden being worth $200,000 before was now worth $450,000. But because everybody was afraid they were going to get sued, all my partners wanted bought out right when we found out there was a problem. So I said, okay, and I bought them all out. So now I own this thing by myself. And all of a sudden I'm making $2,000 a month, positive cash flow, on top of everything else I had. And I had enough money to retire. There it was. Boom. $2,000 from my other stuff, $2,000 from this. And I got $4,000 a month. I was only making, bringing home $3,500 a month. Now I'm making $4,000 a month tax-free. I could see it. The plan had worked. I got there. So that was the next epiphany that, hey, there it is. One multifamily deal, and I really, it's not considered multifamily, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to hear that and think it was an apartment. It's not. It was five duplexes right next to each other. And they originally were on a single lot, but I had them replotted to five duplexes on five lots, which made them worth a lot more money as single family houses. So that's it. I mean, that's what got me retired. Only $4,000 a month positive cash flow, but that's all it took back then. But it's going to be similar. You're going to need somewhere between 10 houses and another 10 houses with duplexes. That was a 20 houses. So somewhere around 20 units, you're probably going to be able to replace your income. Now, if you make a ton of money, which I didn't, well, then you're going to need more units. However, if you make a ton of money, you should have a lot more money to invest than I did. And so the plan should be such that as I went from owning a 10 unit, my next purchase was a 15 unit. My next purchase after that was a 20 unit, then a 30 unit, then a 40 unit. And I kept pushing myself. I never owned a 50. I owned a 64. I owned a 68. I owned an 88. I owned a 104 and I owned a 140 unit property. Eventually, I went all the way up to a 256, then a 270, and a 320. I just kept growing my willingness to take risks. I kept growing my managerial skill sets. I kept growing my ability to get people to invest money with me and grow with me as a business, and so on and so forth. So there was the plan. It's that simple. You got to start, though, somewhere. And the one that's most important, I think, is that first rent house, just so you get your arms around what you're doing. Now, because Lifestyles teaches people how to do this stuff, and if you have the business skill sets that are necessary to understand how to do payroll and how to do accounting and understand payroll and understand marketing and sales, you could probably start with an apartment complex. A lot of people do. Now, some people do that shouldn't have. And they end up paying the price by not making any money or actually losing money because they jumped into something they can't and don't have the ability to operate. That happens. Some people won't listen to anything you teach them. That happens. There are these situations where, you know, hey, buyer beware. It can go wrong if you don't do the right thing, if you won't follow the instructions, if you are lazy, greedy, or if you're just really, some people have no ethics at all and they operate their businesses in such a low level of ethics that nothing happens. What is my ethics? My ethics is best product, best price. I try to produce the absolute best product I can at a price that's cheaper than everybody else on the market. And as I grew, I realized that, all right, it's not cheaper than everybody on the market, because when I started out in low-end housing because that's all I could afford. As I moved into middle range housing, I was the lowest price in that range. And then when I moved into Class A apartments, I was the lowest price in that range. You don't try as a Class A to be the lowest price on low-end property. That's not what happens. So that's kind of the way it is. You have to figure out where your product line is, how it fits, how to market it, what the pricing is. And all that's part of business. Now, not all that sounds that exciting to someone brand new sitting here going, how do I get started? I'll tell you how you get started. One rent house. I used to tell people in my seminars when I did them regularly that you can own up to 20 units and have no problems at all because there are 20 stupid people in this world. Now, what do I mean by that? It means even if you're a complete idiot and don't know what you're doing, you can probably find 20 people that would rent from you. Just because there's 20 dumb people out there that don't know what they're doing and the two of you are in mutual ignorant bliss and you get along together. But once you know, once you're out there trying to do larger numbers of units, you have to understand marketing. You have to understand product, price, product ratios, things like that to make it work. But we're not there yet. Today's show is about, hey, what do I do if I'm brand new? How do I get started? And I'm telling you, if you have no other skill sets, no other ability, not a lot of money to risk, your first bet is a rent house. Get the lifestyles and figure out how to buy that first rent house. Sign up for the free workshop. There is actually a free workshop you can take by going online to Lifestyles Unlimited Incorporated. And sign up for that and take that free workshop. There's a discount offered after it and so forth, but mostly at least come see what it is we do and what you would have to do to get involved. I mean, as far as what do you have to bring to the table? What kind of money, what kind of time, what kind of skill sets and stuff, and what we how much we have to study. Get your arms around what we do. If you like what you see, then you get set up. Once you get set up, we'll teach you how to do everything. We'll take you by the hand. You spend 2 days with myself or David Fisher or one of the other teachers and mentors here, and we call them life changers. I mean, 2 days of just pounding you with information on how to get started. Everything from single family to multifamily, how to locate, evaluate, negotiate, contract, close, refinance, how to rehab, how to lease up, how to market, how to sell. Everything is in there. And you want to get to that. That's where the real learning curve begins. Then after that, if you want mentors, we have mentors. If you don't want mentors, that's fine. Do it on your own. And just use the educational information. But the bottom line is you got to get started somewhere. That first rent house is going to make all the difference in the world. And, you know, maybe you start with a duplex and maybe you start with a fourplex. Some of you might even be able to start with a small apartment. But the most important point is that you get started. You can always stop doing this stuff. If you do one or two or three of these, you go, hey, this just isn't for me. Real simple to sell that stuff. As long as you paid the right price for it up front, did what we showed you, it'd be easy for you to sell it because it's worth more than what you paid for in most cases if you did it right, if you did it the way we do it. So it should be simple to get rid of it. But most people don't come to that conclusion. There are a few that just, you know, some people just don't like doing anything. Now, those people generally at Lifestyles decide to look into passive investing. Passive investing is where you put your money with somebody else who is an active investor. And we have that situation here at Lifestyles also. We have people that have taken classes on how to be what we call lead investors. They've signed white paper rules that state, I will follow these rules so that I stick to a semi-safe, appropriate investment style and technique and type of properties and so forth. And you can meet these people and invest with them if you like. You look at them, see if you like them, then you look at the deals, see if you like their deals, and make that. Then you can be a passive investor. Now, you don't make as much as if you are doing it yourself because you're paying someone a portion of your share of the profit for doing all the work. And like I said, when I started, I was the guy getting paid the profit share for doing the work, not the guy putting up the money because I didn't have the money. Later on, now I'm one of the guys that put up the money and I just get like, I got a check yesterday for $4,200 from one of the deals. I just, boom, got it in the mail. And it was like a quarterly check on this particular deal. And, you know, I don't do anything. I just, hey, you're going to do a deal. I like this guy. I like the deal he had. I invested in it with him. And I've been getting checks now from this deal for like 4 years, just like clockwork. There they are. Boom, boom, boom. Now, it's a pretty good guy, pretty good deal. And I'm really happy with it. I've done about 9 of those where I invested with other people. And I haven't had any bad ones. Now, that's not to say there haven't been bad ones out there. Some people invest with bad people or they invest in bad deals. And that's what you come here for, is to learn how not to invest with bad people and how not to invest in bad deals. That would be the educational part of being a passive investor. But getting back to where we started here, you don't want to just blindly get up and go to work every day, get a paycheck, say, okay, look, I struggled, I saved some money, I stuck it in this account, this 401k or this IRA or whatever. I gave my money blindly to some financial planning company and they did what they wanted to do with it. And I just hoped and prayed that it would be there when I needed it. I hoped and prayed that it would go up in value. I hoped and prayed that that someday I'd be able to retire. But what I know from the beginning was there was no cash flow. I knew there was no cash flow. I knew there was no mortgage reduction. I knew there were no tax advantages. And that's one of the things, is that this income that we earn in these doing these rental houses and apartments is, if you are doing it correctly, tax preferenced in some cases to completely tax deferred free. You don't pay taxes. Myself, I have massive tax savings every year because I built up such a base of real estate to depreciate from. So I know you're not getting that. You're not getting any of that. The only thing you might get is the stock market or whatever your investment is might go up in value. Or if you've got a bond, it may pay some interest and you're getting some return. But you're getting whatever it is that that particular investment promises, which is generally not enough to retire you. In most cases, probably not even enough to beat and or keep up with and or beat inflation. So you have to make the decision. You're here now. We're finishing up the show. You have to make a decision. Do I get on the line and call these guys, or do I go online and take the free workshop? What do I do? Am I ready at this point in my life to change my life? Interestingly enough, most people I finally meet go, I listened to you for 3 months or 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 6 years, whatever it is, before I finally took action. I think what happens is that, you know, the saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, that's obvious. But there's another point to it, and that is Tony Robbins says that until the pain of staying the same is larger than the pain of change, you're not going to change. So something devastating usually happens in somebody's life, which is really sad, because if I could get to you while you were still happy, you're probably in a better shape to get started. But many people have to wait till that devastating thing happens and they lose their job or lose their savings or whatever. Have a great day. And remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.